Been talking about prayer the last two Sunday nights, different aspects of prayer. The disciples asked the Lord Jesus, teach us to pray. I've made the statement the last two Sundays as well that prayer is more than a religious exercise, it is the Christian life. And as we compare that to the question or the request from the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray, they were asking Christ, they were asking the Lord to bring them in this spiritual exercise, into the Christian life. I believe that that's fitting. I believe that that works. I don't think we have to twist anything around that. The disciples were interested to be an active part, to be a major part in what Christ was doing. Lord, teach us to pray. It's more than a religious exercise, but it is the Christian life. Tonight I want to look at another two aspects about prayer, and the first one being the purpose of prayer. This is probably a subject that is bigger than what I'm capable of handling. The purpose of prayer. Have you ever tried to say or define what the purpose of prayer was? Suppose we could come up with a lot of byproducts. But what is the major purpose for prayer? What do we use prayer for? One of the byproducts of prayer, one of the aspects of prayer would be that we use prayer as a source of supply for our personal needs. Now, for some people, they may think that that is the major purpose in prayer. But then you'll find in Scripture that it tells us that he already knows what we have need of before we ask. And if he already knows what we have need of before we ask, then why would it be the major purpose for us to pray for those things? I'm not saying that we can't pray for those things. He does know them, and he does like for us to ask him. But he already knows what we have need of. He's already promised that he would provide our need. That's in the provisions of Christendom. That's in the provisions that Christ has given. As we are his children, he provides for his children. Do we use prayer? Is the major purpose in prayer just asking God for our personal needs? Maybe we have a little bit further to go. Maybe what we're praying about or the purpose in our prayer would be that we're praying that God would help us to be spiritually successful, that we would be the witness that we ought to be. It's a good thing to pray about, isn't it? Lord, help me to be the witness that I should be. But you know, even that kind of a prayer, we have to put feet to those prayers. Because there's something that we have to do, even as we pray that God would help us to be a witness. Because we have the opportunity, at the point of opportunity, to deny being a witness. Or to not be the witness that we ought to be. It's our choice. God doesn't hit us over the head and say, here, sir, here, ma'am, is an opportunity for you to witness. Here is an opportunity for you to plant a seed. Here is an opportunity for you to water somebody else's seed. You remember Paul had something to say about that. He said that he planted and Apollos watered, but God is the one that gave the increase. The scripture here would indicate to us that as people, as humanity, as Christians do their part, that he, God, will surely do his part. How many of you prayed this week that people would come to church? Did you pray that somebody would come to church? Maybe you prayed somebody out of the normal. Well, your prayer was answered today. We had some people here that don't normally come to church here. That may not have been what your prayer was referring to. Maybe you were praying that somebody, some sinner, would find their way to Wiseball Community Church this week, this Sunday. Not a bad prayer. I'm not trying to criticize if that's prayer, the prayer that you prayed, but once again, if that's the prayer you prayed, did you put any feet to that prayer? We can expect God to answer prayer, but when we're praying that people would come to church, I wonder how much of a role that we play in that prayer by asking people or inviting people or sharing the gospel with somebody and say, you're welcome to join us at church on Sunday. I often wonder how many times it really works that we pray that God would bring people to church when nobody has invited them to come to church. I know that there's occasionally that does take place, more often in city churches than out here in the country. Somebody passing by, hear the singing or hear the music, or just feel an urge to go to church as they walk the street beside or out in front of the church door. There might be that possibility, or more of a possibility, in a city than a country setting. But really, that doesn't always happen. More often than not, when people come to church, they come because somebody invited them to come. Not saying that it's wrong for us to pray that somebody come to church or pray about our success spiritually or that we would be a witness, but are we praying with feet to those same prayers? Are we praying that people would get saved, but we are not planting the seed or watering the seed? You see, there's prayers that we pray that we must put feet to. These prayers are not the main purpose of prayer. God does things, and He's obligated to do things. You may not like that word, but He's obligated to do His part when man's part is finished. Water, plant, He brings and gives the increase. Our responsibility is in that first part. So when we pray that God would help us to be a witness, we must make sure that we are praying that God would help us to be spiritually successful. There's things that you and I must do. The responsibility is in our hands. We are responsible, and then He obligates Himself to do what man cannot do and finish the equation. Main purpose in prayer goes much deeper than praying for our needs or praying for our success spiritually or our successful witness. Prayer, good purpose in prayer, is to reposition us in our relation to God and to things. Do you have in your house? Don't go home and take it down. Don't go home and think that I'm wanting you to take it down. But maybe you have it in your house, somewhere on the wall, the little saying, prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Is that always literally true, or is it more likely that prayer changes man's relationship to things? Have you ever prayed for a certain thing only to have a different relationship to it, a change of mind towards it? Prayer changes man in his relationship, or it repositions man in his relation to God and his relation to things. When Moses came down out of the mountain with the Ten Commandments written on stone and saw all that was taking place, he broke that stone. He was grieved. He was angry, as a matter of fact. And God, in essence, in that passage, was saying to Moses, Moses, get out of the way. I am going to annihilate this people. I am going to wipe them off the face of the earth. I'm going to start all over again with you, Moses, and your seed, and I will make a great nation out of your seed. I'm going to give up on this Israelite people. Isn't that the edict of God? Isn't that what God said? Move out of the way. Moses, I'm going to kill them. But Moses, repositioned through prayer, changed the relationship of the situation to God. He said, God, if you're interested in blotting somebody out, then blot my name out in place of, eliminate me in place of this great people. We have a word for that. It's called intercession. He was interceding for the entire nation of the Israelites, the entire children of Israel. He was interceding on behalf of them because they had transgressed, because they had brought on God's anger. God's anger must be appeased. God's wrath must be dealt with. And the only way to deal with wrath and to deal with all is to have death take place. And Moses was willing. What a man, interceding on behalf of the people. And it changed not the circumstances. It didn't make the sin go away. It didn't make the penalty of that sin go away. It repositioned what was taking place with God. It changed things in relationship to God. Have you prayed in that kind of a, with that kind of a purpose? Prayer changes man's attitude towards things. Sometimes we pray that God would change our conditions that are unbearable, or our conditions that are the same year after year, something that we don't like, or something that we don't enjoy, something that is problematic, something that is hurting us or causing us grief, and we pray that God would change our circumstances. Sometimes God does change our circumstances, but we must see how our relation to Him must change in order for that circumstance to change. You remember Joshua and the children of Israel at the Battle of Ai. They lost that battle. That was a grievous point to Joshua. That really hurt him. That bothered, that troubled him, because here was this little city that they should have been able to conquer very easily, but God had allowed the Israelites to lose. God didn't change the circumstances, but He did require Joshua to take some circumstances and deal with those circumstances before God would bring blessing to the children of Israel. Changes the attitudes towards things. It brings about a change, not in the condition, but it brings about a change in the one who is praying. Brings us to the point where we can exclaim and cry out with Paul, where he said that he glories in tribulation, that he is taking pleasure in infirmities or in reproaches or in necessities or in persecutions and in distresses and for Christ's sake. How unnatural it is there to take glory in those kinds of things, and yet the change in relation to God takes place, or with changing the relation to these things take place as our relation to God takes place, changes. That's a good thing to pray about, and to have a change in our experience or change in our position. But could I bring to us this evening that the major purpose of prayer, there's a lot of other things that we could talk about too, byproducts of prayer. But let me give to you this evening, the major purpose of prayer would be to feed one's soul on the life of God. If you remember the part of that statement that was made the last two Sundays, that prayer is more than religious exercise, it is the Christian life. It is not preeminently seeking things from God, but it is rather seeking God Himself. The major, main point or purpose of prayer would be that we feed our soul on the life of God. Salvation is not just an experience. Salvation is a life. Christian life is not just an experience. It is a life. And that Christian experience must be fed. That Christian life must be fed. And a Christian life cannot be fed on anything outside of God Himself. We like to pull up to the table. We like to nourish our physical body. It's more important for us to notice and to realize and to activate the opportunity to live by spiritually the feeding on God Himself. The Spirit must be fed from the life of God. Let me read this to you. One should not pray simply to change or obtain things or to attain success. He should pray so as to enter farther into God until in God he does very literally live and move and have his being. I don't know if you understand that, if you got a hold of that sentence or phrasing there, but that is extremely deep. That is not shallow stuff. He should pray so as to enter farther into God until in God he does very literally live and move and have his being. One should so pray that God can help himself to one's life as he sees fit. Then it is that things will be given, changes will come, and success will attend one's activities as the byproduct of a God-fed life. See, we spend all of our time praying for these things that are just really should be a byproduct of a God-fed life. And if our purpose in prayer is to feed on God, then these other things are just the product of that prayer life. That takes us deeper than just, now lay me down to sleep and God is good, God is great. That brings us to the possibilities of prayer. That brings us to another aspect of prayer here, not just so much the purpose of prayer, but what about the possibilities of prayer? If a person is being fed by God through prayer, then what are the possibilities? Let me read a little further. If men would so feed upon God that he could enlarge them to the extent that he could have channels big enough to give him even elbow room, then there would be no limits to the possibilities of prayer. Its possibilities are limited. This one hurts. Get ready. Get your band-aids ready. Its possibilities are limited only by men's dwarfed spiritual lives. Did you say ouch with that one like I did? Its possibilities are limited only by men's dwarfed spiritual lives. What about Abraham praying for Sodom? I know that he had a vital interest there, his nephew Lot and the family. He had a vital interest there. There was a keen interest there. It was family. And Abraham was praying, and he prayed big. If there's a whole bunch of people that are righteous, would you save it? If there's few less, and if there's a few less, if there's, let's see here, if there's 10, if Lot's been able to save his family, would you save? He was interceding for Sodom by the means of Lot's family. Why didn't Abraham go all the way down to 1 if Lot has maintained a righteous life? Could it be that his faith only held the possibility of 10? He wasn't able to walk with God to the point of 1. The possibilities are limited only by the dwarfed spiritual life of the person praying. Sometimes I pray, or I'll say, the answer's not in the one that's praying, but the answer's in the one that is being prayed to. You know, that tries to take the monkey off my back. It's not in who's praying, it's in who is being prayed to that matters. But if my prayer is based on my spiritual life and its strength, then that no longer works, throwing the monkey off of my back. I have a responsibility as I pray and as I believe God based on the spiritual strength or structure of my life, my spiritual life. Now that puts a lot of responsibility back on us. That takes us again deeper than now I'll lay me down to sleep. Abraham prayed for Lot. What about Moses praying for Israel? Let's go back to him. You see, he didn't say 50 or 40 or 30 or 20 or 10. He brought it right down. God, if you're interested in blotting somebody out, then blot me out. How is it that he was able to do that? How is it that he was able to say that? Could it be that he had just spent 40 days in the very presence of God, feeding on God himself? Could it be that because he had so saturated himself with God that he was able to pray that prayer? How many of us could pray it? How many of us could pray it? I'm asking you that, and you're looking back at me. You don't see me standing up to say, I will. I've admitted before that I admire Moses here. That's an incredible intercession. It's hard to do that. Blot my name out instead of everybody else's? They're the ones that sin, not me. They're the ones that transgress, not me. Ezekiel tells us that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Let him die. Moses said, oh no, I'll take the responsibility. You see how it changed the perspective, how it changed what was taking place? God then changed I know we say God never changes, he's always the same, but you see how the conditions of it all changed because Moses interceded. Elijah prayed for rain. That's something that you and I, how many of you have prayed? I prayed today for rain. I guess we got a drop or two. We could use some more. He prayed for rain. I think, though, that if you look at that text, that Elijah prayed 7 times. Possibility of prayer. The limit to the possibility of prayer. Is it really true that the limit to the possibility of prayer is found in the weakness of the life of God in the person praying? If that's the case, then we must take what Paul had to say and refresh our memory with it and apply it to our lives, where Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Which strengtheneth me. In other words, it is as I feed upon God, or as I am fed on Christ until I am strong enough, then I can do all things. And not until I'm strong enough as I've fed on Christ can I accomplish or can I do what I must do. A lot of things have to do with our appetite. We can apply so much of the physical appetite to the spiritual appetite. How much does it really involve here? As we look at this aspect of Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to enter into the Christian life. Teach us that prayer is more than just saying words and more than just requesting things that are just already obligations of God to us. But feed through prayer on Christ, knowing that the strength that we have in order to live a daily life in Christ is going to come only through that aspect of feeding our soul on Christ through prayer. His word is included in that. The possibilities of prayer are only limited to the spiritual strength, the spiritual life that we have in God. The purpose in prayer is to feed and to develop our spiritual strength. May we pray. May we cry out with the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to enter into the Christian life and feed on His word, on Him. So that I can say with Paul, I can do all things through Christ because He strengthens me. Let's stand together tonight. Pray, feed on Christ, feed on God. And revival will be a revival that we will be thankful for. We will praise God for. Let's ask Him. Let's feed on Him. See what God has for us. Praise the Lord. Vaughn, would you dismiss us in prayer?